episode 3 of the Antarctic podcast. And the question we want to answer this one is how time zones work in Antarctica. So to tease, I'll propose a question, which is how many time zones are in Antarctica? And the intuitive answer would be all of them, right? Because all the longitude lines meet in the South Pole. So in principle, if you would go 1 meter north of the pole, then you could do like a circle around it, like 1 meter radius circle, and you would pass through all time zones. But in reality, it's not the case. And then let's discuss a bit before what are time zones, when, why were they invented, why is longitude important or not. Yeah, so stay tuned and maybe we learn something together in this episode. So I think one important stuff, let's first discuss about longitudes. So longitudes were very important during the, especially navigation period, because you wanted to know where you are navigating to, like the ocean is a pretty big place. And once you like to know your position, you need to know, I don't know, some kind of system of coordinates. So they establish a system of latitudes and longitudes, where longitudes are lines that connect the poles and latitudes are parallel to equator. If you go north or south of the equator, you go to a different latitude. If you move in the equator line around the globe, then you're changing your longitude. I think that's pretty intuitive. Pretty much everyone had contact with this concept in school. So once you're navigating, by looking at the stars, you can determine pretty well with good instruments and knowledge your position, or even to the sun, seeing the angle and try to estimate what your latitude is. But longitude was not so easy. There's not a method, or there was not a method back then that you could use to know your longitude. So what they did is, with the clocks getting better and better, they could estimate that, and then they could, knowing the longitude and looking at the position of the sun, know exactly where in the globe they were. So there's a book which is really fascinating in my mind. I read some years ago. It's called Longitude: The True Story of a Lone Genius Who Solved the Greatest Scientific Problem of His Time, from Dava Sobel. And it tells a bit about this story, about making more precise clocks that don't get delayed so fast. And this, let's say, was a very important application of longitude back then. So to have that, they established the Green Meridian time in 1675, when the Royal Observatory was built. And this was to aid mariners to determine longitude at sea, providing a standard reference time while each city in England kept a different local time. So if you think about it, for the true solar time, which is the time where the sun is at the zenith, or where you have no shadows, like the shadows are, they don't appear because the sun comes directly from above. Every city, if you move like east to west, would have a different true solar time. But this was really confusing, because I don't know, if you would contact a friend in another part of, I don't know, a city some degrees more west or eastern than yours, they would have a different time, and it would be difficult to establish a meeting time. And back then, when people were doing smaller distances or walking, or it was fine, but with it was increasingly inconvenient as rail transport and telecommunication improved. So again, in the adoption of time zones, 2 centuries after the GMT time was introduced, the British colony of New Zealand officially adopted time zone 11 hour 30 minute ahead of GMT. And when the railroads, they start to develop in the mid 19th century, It was really important for the train schedules that you would fix or group some cities in the same time, that it wouldn't be like the true solar time for people to know the local time, because otherwise the schedules would get really confusing. So then they start to block some group or to group some cities in the same time zone in the US, for instance, where the railroad was developed back then. And this expanded worldwide. But then coming back to our question in Antarctica. So in Antarctica, it gets actually quite confusing, mostly because Antarctica, in many latitudes of the continent and most time of the years, have either permanent sun or permanent night. And then it doesn't make sense to think about true solar time. There's also somehow fast communications, but because it's not completely inhabited, then you don't have population to care about, just the stations. So it's very discrete, in a sense of mathematical discrete or non-continuous population, and then people can adjust the local time should they travel to another station or something like that. So many countries, you can imagine Antarctica again as a circle is a good approximation, and many countries wanted to claim some territories before. I will talk about territorial claims in another episode. But let's just assume and have it that they claim territories, which is basically people calling dibs in parts of a pizza. So Brazil claim a territory, UK, Argentina, Chile, Norway, a bit of the territories in claim, New Zealand claimed, Australia, France, Norway. But those claims, they overlap. So it's basically you imagine a... You create an imaginary slice of a pizza, but your friend also. And there's a bit of a part of the slice that overlap between the two claims of this part of the pizza. So when the models of the time zone started, it was also quite confusing, because in principle, in some areas, you would have two time zones. The time zones in Antarctica will be linked in the description, but also in the icon of the episode in Spotify and some other platforms that support the image in the icon. And it looks a bit like a pizza with slices, but there's also some like strange configurations in this pizza. So to give an example, the South Pole, which would be one like it could have been agreed to whatever time zone it was established, that would be in New Zealand time. And the reason for that is because in the South Pole you have a base, and this base you fly from McMurdo Station, and McMurdo you fly from New Zealand, and it's also in the territorial claim of New Zealand McMurdo. So the South Pole becomes or have the plus 13 UTC time zone because it's where you fly from, which is one of the criteria. Some other bases, they have the time zone from either a territorial claim or the country they come from. So just to give an example, Halley Station doesn't have GMT time, although it's a UK base. It have like a minus 3 because you fly from South America, and also because it's in the Chilean slash Argentinian claim. So you have this minus 3 time zone from those countries. So they'd have both reasons. And I know in other parts, like from example, Russia have many bases, and not all bases are in the same time zone. Vostok base in Russia, it's also an interesting case because it basically have like a square that maybe you're going to see in the map. If you don't have the map, just go to Google and put time zones in Antarctica and look at the map. In this case, like I'll try to make episodes with less maps, but for this one it's quite important. So the Vostok base have basically like a square around it, this area that doesn't follow the claims or the pizza or whatever. I actually don't know why, and I couldn't find a research material online that had this, but if you know, just try to write me somehow, like Facebook or email. And then in the sense, or a lot of parts of the continent have no time zone at all, and then the other have, yeah, literally not no time zones, or get UTC, like GMT time. So yeah, it's basically not everyone have an explanation, but it's mostly based on the time zones of the of the territorial claims. And then if you like, just to get back to the initial question, so how many time zones are present in the continent of Antarctica? There are 9, mostly because of the claims. Again, it really doesn't matter so much. Like if you fly from one station to another one, you just readjust your clock. It's not connected to, let's say, nature time so much. And the other thing that is quite interesting is that Antarctica is one of the best places to do like a time travel, because the time zones, they jump from one extreme to another one. So if you would travel from, let's say, New Zealand time zone to which is plus 13, to the one where the Druskaya station from Russia is, then you would travel from plus 13 to minus 6, which is quite a big jump in time zones. Yeah, so I don't know. This was a bit of an episode talking about time zones. Honestly, I couldn't find much information online, so it's basically me trying to understand from the maps what the reasons for the time zones are. And if you find this interesting, or if you have something to contribute, feel free to reach out. And I hope to see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening.